And in five games, the Los Angeles Lakers will take down the Denver Nuggets, and the Lakers are headed back to the NBA Finals.
The Heat eliminate the Boston Celtics in six games. Next up, the Los Angeles Lakers.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Straya. It's Monday, September 28th, and we have our NBA finalists. Oh, yes! It's finally gotten there. It's September. We're having the finals. Anyway, I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. For Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet booze money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, surrounded by old man's detritus. What's that over there? A cranberry almonds and white chocolate mix. Unreal. Anyway, I'm here giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Orlando bubble. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. It's the NBA playoffs. It's the pointy end. We've got the finalists. So we're going to wrap a massive weekend. Games 5 and 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. Weekend winners and losers. And of course, all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Old Mate Nomad, Spud of the Night, Pantsy of the Weekend. Better than Lonzo Ball. And because it's Monday, Dickhead of the Weekend. Love that. Going to be telling the truth. And of course, we've got we've got the unpopular opinion of the day. And we've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. Plus, an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. One big winner for that this week. And that'll basically be it, because we've got a big preview show coming for the finals. So we'll wrap up our picks and give you a quick sneak peek at the finals odds. And we'll finish up with a deli review of Cobra Kai. Yes! Can't wait. Unreal NBA Show episode 490. Big show. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better. You better watch out for the BAM attack. If you're the Boston Celtics. Oh, geez. Yeah, that's right. Today's Daily Whip Around. That's how we start every show here at NBA Australia. We've got our finalists, don't we? That's right. Bam dismantled the Celtics today after LeBron dismantled the Nuggets on Sunday. Jeez. Unbelievable stuff. But anyway, a bit of news quickly before we get into that. Malik Beasley was arrested. Minnesota Timberwolves shooting guard. Then released without charge. Two charges relating to weed possession and basically receiving stolen goods, which might appear to be a gun. Just a weird mix of some crazy shit where the house that he's renting in Minnesota, I don't know, someone pulled a gun on a car that pulled up and it's just a whole mess. But anyway, interesting to see what more news we get out of that one in the coming days. Other news, the draft combine list has been released. Bit weird. We've still got another month. Well, you know, not a giant amount of time left to the draft actually happens, November 18 now. But we've got a draft combine, apparently. That's fun. And the participants in that include our very own Aussie, Josh Green! And our, honorary Aussies, RJ Hampton, even though he's an honorary Kiwi, and LaMelo Ball. Cool. They're going to be in it. That's pretty cool. But other dudes like Anthony Edwards, ain't no stopping. OB Toppin! Love him. And James Wiseman aren't going to be in it either, but... Anyway, whatever. That all pales in comparison, doesn't it? Because the NBA Finals are set, mate. The Los Angeles Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
And the Miami Heat. Now, as a lifelong Miami Heat fan for the last 2 weeks, I'm stoked. I'm even more stoked that Kemba Walker hitting a three at the end of the game today basically hit one of Jimmy's best bets on the fucking nose to get him over 19.5 points and over 2.5 threes. So, yeah, looks like the squid's going to be walking around in some new shoes. He needs it too. He's growing up. I'll tell you what, though. The big news in Melbourne, lockdown. Childcare. Unbelievable. Dropped the squid off at daycare this morning. Sat there watching the basketball and the NFL. It's been fucking great. Feels good. Anyway, but I'm a weekend winner, I guess, because of that. Because daycare's back, I can actually get some fucking work done. Put some thought into NBA Australia. But are you stoked? Heat Lakers. What a wildly fun matchup. From a basketball standpoint, but also from a city standpoint. And of course, from the LeBron versus his old team standpoint. But look, what we're going to do today, we're going to wrap up a whole bunch of stuff from the weekend. We'll do weekend winners and losers. And then really sort of break down a lot of the Lakers Heat stuff in the next couple of days, heading into the actual game one, which will be on Thursday. So today, a bit of Boston, bit of Nuggets, bit of Lakers, bit of Heat. And it's pretty fun. I love this time of year. Getting into the finals, it all comes to a point. It looks like we've got a great matchup, so I'm pretty stoked. So there you go. That could almost be our first weekend winner, couldn't it? So let's do those.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me.
Ken Brocklin.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like we're all winners now, aren't we? That's pretty great. Because we're sitting here going, Lakers Heat, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James... Especially when it comes to a Heat team that just seemed like the equal to everybody that's been thrown in front of them so far. It's got a bit of star power with Butts. It's got some awesome defensive power with Bam, and he's just an emerging superstar as well. You've got the young kid, Tyler, there goes my hero. And on the Lakers side, you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, JR, the Caruso. Ah, it's just great. So I feel like we're all winners to come out of this weekend, unless, of course, you're a Boston Celtics fan. Or a Denver Nuggets fan. Commiserations. Sorry, not sorry. So big weekend winner is LeBron. Obviously, 10th finals, mate. That is not bad. Not bad at all. Because also, if he wins this, just think about it for a second. 4 titles does sound a lot better than 3 historically. I'd be the same as, he'd be the same as Shaq. And it would put him within spitting distance of 5. And equal, therefore, with Kobe. And to be honest... Considering career trajectories, AD is not going to be getting worse over the next couple of years, So 6 isn't impossible. So really, in terms of weekend winners, LeBron is definitely one because the GOAT conversation will probably continue fucking forever. And 10 finals is absolutely nothing to sneeze at. I mean, he just fucks around and just makes the finals. That's what LeBron does. So in terms of all-time greatness conversations, LeBron is pretty much... Look, he'd already cemented himself in it. He's just adding to the resume at this point, and it's just going to get more and more and more and more interesting to talk about him versus MJ all time. I'm still MJ. We'll always be Team MJ, I think. Unless LeBron gets to 6, and then we get to have a real conversation, Jimmy Butler, obviously a weekend winner. He's out there charging $20 a coffee. He's leaving just shattered remnants of franchises behind him everywhere he goes. Chicago, mini Philly. But he's going to his first final, so it doesn't matter. That's what it's all about, isn't it, Jimmy? And he's like, yep, that's what it's all about. Just making the finals, mate. It's like, yep. Loves country music. Doesn't matter. Going to the finals. He's a psycho. Doesn't matter. Going to the finals. You're never going to be able to turn around and say, look, Jimmy Butler, I don't know if he's your best player. Can he take you to the finals? Well, turns out he fucking can. So that's a big win for Butts. And also just a real big win. Like, it's basically a confirmation of exactly what he was looking for, right? He saw it in Philly, looked at Simo, looked at Embiid, he went, these guys are fucking laughing if they think they're working hard enough and are matching my work rate. Goes to Miami, he's like, I found my fucking people. So good on him and good on your Butts. The Lakers! I'll tell you what.
The Lakers stink!
Maybe, but at the same time, a whole bunch of their fans were really, really hesitant to throw Josh Hart in the AD trade. Thought he was a bit of a trade breaker. Yeah, I think they're okay now, aren't they? But also, look, the Lakers are winners because 10 years out of the finals, the Lakers are just happy. They're just like, I love seeing all the posters like, oh, bro, if you sat through Robert Sacre, this is the payoff, bro. It's like, you're the fucking Lakers, you dipshit. Lakers fans are the fucking worst. Oh, man. Can't believe I just sit through the Sacre years. Oh, the Bazemore years, bro. It broke my heart. Fuck off. Had Magic Johnson. And then you had Shaq. And then you had Kobe. Fuck off. Anyway, but look, you know, aren't we just all happy that the scrappy underdog Lakers, who no one thought could do it, did it with their two top five NBA players. Look, good on them. It is also nice to have like the Lakers back because it is fun. It's fun having marquee franchises in the biggest, you know, positions they can be. It is just fucking fun. It would have been fun to have Celtics Lakers as a final as well. Even though, I don't know, not quite the matchup I would have liked. I like this one more. Obviously, the Heaters. The Heaters are weekend winners. It's just an amazing story, though, isn't it? Just a whole bunch of unheralded rookies, dudes who are drafted after 10, players without that top-line draft stock. It's just their work rate, their culture. It just shines through. Like, Miami lose LeBron. They lose Chris Bosh. They lose D-Wade. They never tank. Riley's like, just fuck it. I'll trade for Dragic. He can play with Bosh. Bosh goes out. It's like, fuck it. Wade bounces, like, fuck it. We'll just keep giving these dudes big contracts and eventually I'll turn them into something. And that's exactly what he did. Butler rolls in, never drafted higher than 10. Tanking, look, there's the great point that no one who drafted a number one pick, apart from San Antonio and Kyrie with a number one pick, are basically like the dudes who have actually won a title. I think it's Houston with Akeem as well. It's like, oh shit. All right, there you go. So tanking, bro, it's pretty great, I guess. But still, good job by the Heat. They traded Wingen Hassan Whiteside for Myers Leonard just to basically give Bam the starting center gig. And that might be the greatest trade ever, you know? Myers and his rig, they didn't play any minutes in the conference finals. And it was the greatest trade ever. And there you go. They're the first fifth seed since 99 or lower, basically, to advance to the NBA finals. That's fucking great. What a story. I love it. Go the Heat. The Gentleman's Sweep is a weekend winner. I fucking love a good Gentleman's Sweep. The Gentleman's Sweep really technically ought to be when you're up 3-0, let the other team get a win, and then knock them out. But 3-1 into 4-1. Look, a 4-1 is basically the ideal, like, you gave us a good shot there, and now we're going to take care of business. Tough scene for the Nuggets because you feel a bit, I don't know, it just feels a little bit tough. Obviously, the 3-1, we've got right where we want them. But it really could have easily have been 2-1 for the Nuggets were it not for that AD buzzer beater in game two. But good on yous. But speaking of the Nuggets, they're weekend winners as well. They missed the playoffs a couple of years ago and they made the second round last year. They've made the Western Conference Finals this year. But I feel like most of all, they're weekend winners because they proved that they belong. They're for real. We've now got to take them seriously. And this is the big thing. I think this got brought up time and time again on NBA Australia this year. To start the season. Even during the season. It's like we're not going to be able to take the Nuggets seriously until they do something serious. And that's exactly what they fucking did. They were down 3-1 twice. And then a third time they came back. Only the twice. But anyway, what comebacks. What a team. What resilience. And I feel like they proved that they can hang with every team in the NBA. And they're fun as shit. So we'll talk about them a bit later. Jamal Murray's obviously a weekend winner. Proved to be worth that max extension that he got. And now the first thing I guess we think about him won't be his girlfriend polishing his knob on Instagram. But geez. But that's great. He went toe-to-toe with some of the best. Kicked some ass, took some names. Jeremy Grant, he's a weekend winner because he made a shit ton of money this offseason. And Deion Waiters somehow made it so he was on both the NBA finalists this year. So you got to hope that Deion's going to get a ring no matter what. One way or the other, Deion Waiter, NBA championship ring will be a thing that exists. Love it. Love it. But anyway, Anthony Davis forces his way out of New Orleans. He's a weekend winner because now he's gone to the finals in his first year as a Los Angeles Laker. You just got to feel just feel grateful for them, don't you? But the real big weekend winner, this is going to get bashed over your head. Until you can't hear anything else. Iguodala, six straight finals. That's a weekend winner because that's why you sit out most of a year, isn't it? You're going, fucking, I don't want to play in Memphis. I go to the finals. It's just what I do. These pricks aren't going there. All right, trade me to Miami. Now they got a shot, bro. But Iguodala, six straight finals is fucking massive. That's legendary. And he was great today as well. So good job. Bye, Iggy. I didn't like the way he did it. But hey, paid off. So that's a win. What about weekend losers, however?
We're not Losers!
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up!
Loser.
Losers. All right, we can losers. Jason Tatum. Look, I do a lot of Tatum bashing and have done for the last little while. And he's amazing. He's great. But he's not capital G great, super duper star great yet. And he's 22, which is not bad for a 19-year-old. So look, but he started 0-7 again today from the floor. It's again. He did it the other day. He finally, you know, he fought his team's way back into the game last, was it game 5? But look, he just didn't have the topping power to go just right, fucking everybody out of my way. I'm going to win us this game, this series, get us back into a game 7, see how we go. But at the same time, he's 22. I feel like this is the sort of necessary lump, again, that you need to take if you're the best player and a real deal championship contender. Because he really is the number one there now, like up until, you know, he's dealt with Kyrie in the background. And basically, this is the time where it's like, all right, now you're for real, you're an all-star. Let's fucking go, Jason Tatum. And he didn't quite have it, right? I think I said on Friday's show, come on, Jason Tatum, score us 37, equal Tyler Hero. And he didn't do it in either of these games. That's fine. I get it in a Brad Stevens offense. You've got a much more sort of talented group around you. You're going to share it a bit more. But sometimes you just got to go fucking Kobe and kick some ass, fuck him off, put the team on your back, lead him the promised land. And starting off slowly in both those games didn't fucking help matters. And defensively, I don't know. I don't want to keep yelling about it, but there's just these lapses that just sort of shit me up the wall. And it's like, but he's a great defender. I'm like, I don't fucking quite know about that, mate. But anyway, it's going to be fascinating to see how he comes back next year and if he can really take that step. But it would have been really interesting to see if he could have gone through a 5-6, game 5-6, forced a game 7, and really just fucking wrote his name in Sharpie on the NBA and went, I'm fucking here. And he didn't quite do it, and that's why I've still got my reservations. Weekend losers, the Celtics. I believe that's how it's pronounced. The door was wide open for them to make the finals. But as I said on Friday's show, there's like a weird lack of cohesion, a weird lack of danger about them. It's like a lack of cohesion, a lack of nasty, a lack of personality almost. Like, that's clearly why they rely on Marcus Smart so much to be that leader, to be that personality. Because Kemba, Tatum, Hayward, they're not quite doing it. Jaylen Brown could be, but maybe not while on the same team as Tatum. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I feel like you need Jason Tatum to be the absolute fucking deadly ass kicker out there talking trash, showing more emotion, just dumping nerds in bins, and Jaylen Brown to be like the Bash brother with Smart and Hayward fitting in the gaps and Kemba just being like the sage old wise head. There you go. And it's like not quite there, which is weird because they've been together for a pretty fucking hefty chunk of time now. Brad Stevens, what is that, 3 Eastern Conference finals now? Each time he's sort of been outsmarted, out-hustled, and outworked. And you sort of come away from each of them going, I mean, there's just something lacking. What is it? I don't fucking know, bro. It's not that, you know, it's not there in Enos Kanter. Is it Romeo Langford's time? Let's get him out there. I don't know, man. But it was a big one. And like you can see with the Heat, they're not afraid ever. They want to share the ball. There's like no ego, I feel like, about a lot of what the Heat do. And with the Celtics, I feel like they're still trying to figure that out. You could see that with how frustrated Kemba would get at times with Tatum going, I'm going to take it over. It's like, Tatum, you're really fucking forcing it. And meanwhile, the Heat are just fucking flipping the ball around. Bam's just going, all right, cool, I'm going to dunk. Oh, wait, no, there's a wide open Dunkey Robinson. There's a Hero. Butts is doing the same. And there's just like a real helpful unselfishness about the Heaters. The Celtics, look, it's just not quite there. Smart just jacking up another 3. We're like, really, Marcus, do you think that's going to go in? Fuck, the other 20 haven't. Anyway, but the Celtics, there's just some big question marks about them, and I just can't put my finger on it. And Brad Stevens might be a big part of it as well. It's like he's a very, very, very fucking good coach. But maybe he's too quiet. Maybe he's not enough of an ass kicker. Maybe he's not a bit of, you know, the dude on the sidelines where you're like, fucking, I will fight every dude on this team if we don't do this right. I don't know, it's weird. Nikola Jokic, hello, weekend loser after he kicked the shit out of Ivica Zubac and Montrezl Harrell couldn't get it done against AD and Dwight. Too much foul trouble and just, I don't know, the legs really weren't there, especially towards the end of that series. Tough scenes for Nikola Jokic, but he was great all playoffs and really cemented himself as the best big man in the NBA. But just towards the end of the series, just slowed down a bit too much. It was a bit of a tough one, but anyway, we still love him. And Gordon Hayward is definitely a weekend loser, isn't he? Pity the bloke. Pity the bloke, because he now has to go back to Boston to explain to his wife why he missed the birth of their son so he could go shoot 40% from the floor and 29% from three and get shit pumped by the Heat. Ugh. You're not going to... look, in terms of people I don't feel sorry for, usually it's Gordon Hayward, but I do a little bit. Because he is going to be hearing about that for the rest of his life. You'll be hearing, oh yeah, well, look, you weren't there when Gordy Jr. was born because you're off fucking around with your mates. Losing to Jimmy Butler in the Heat. The rest of your life. Tough scenes, tough scenes. All right, let's do some game wraps real quick. Game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps, game wraps. We had Saturday's game. Boston smoked Miami in that one. Tatum started real slow, killed him in the third quarter. Really got going and absolutely smashing the third quarter. Actually did Boston. Ran away with it. 121-108. Tatum had 31. Jalen Brown had 28. Heat, I mean, Butts had 17-8-9. Just wasn't enough. Miami, that was at 3-2. It was the inevitable letdown game for Miami. And Boston had to wake up, so they did. But then Sunday, the Lakers take care of business against the Nuggets. Up 3-1. They win this series. What a show by the Lakers as well. Up by 10 at the half. Got it up to a 16-point lead. I think it was 72-56, about 4 minutes into the third quarter. Jamal Murray is banged up his leg. He's got this huge bruise. He's all fucked up. The Nuggets, though, they just went, I don't care. We're like the T-1000. We're just going to keep fucking coming back. Jeremy Grant just led them on a massive run. They tie it back up at 84. All the Lakers sphincters just collectively tighten. And AD hits a three just before the three-quarter buzzer, though, just to give them a little bit of breathing space. And then in the fourth quarter, LeBron brings them home. 16 points in the last quarter. The Nuggets had one last run in them. They got it all the way back to four, but they just couldn't get it within enough to give themselves a chance. And every time they threatened, LeBron had an answer. And it was... And this is, like, no hyperbole. It's a closeout game in the Western Conference Finals, and LeBron James was fucking spectacular. It was amazing. The Nuggets went down fighting this swing after swing after swing, and LeBron had a counter for pretty much everything, and it was amazing. So good job by the Nuggets. They go down, but they go down tough. Jamal Murray, 19 points on 17 shots, clearly was just struggling, banged up, just dragging his fucking leg around by the end. 0-4 from downtown. And I think I mentioned this again in one of the other games that they sort of just didn't quite have it. If he's not hitting a couple of threes, then they're fucked. And that's exactly what happened. 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 43 more minutes. What a warrior. I love it. Joker in foul trouble all game. 30 minutes, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 9 of 16 shooting. Just not enough. And it was the fouls earlier that fucked him. And really just couldn't quite ever get into a groove against Dwight and AD and co. So it was a bit of a disappointing end of the series for Joker. Because he was good at times, and then you're like, here we go, and then it just never really clicked into gear. That's what happens when you play against really good defenders, I guess. But at the same time, you kick the shit out of Rudy Gobert in the first round. Jeremy Grant had 20 points and 9 rebounds, made some money this postseason, I mentioned that. Michael Porter Jr., look, wasn't too bad. Got absolutely killed a couple of times as well. Talk about that in a second. 10 points, 2 rebounds. Monty fucking Morris, though. How are the stones on that guy? 10 points, 7 assists. He's a gun. I love him. Torrey Craig, former Cairns Taipan. 0 points in 7 minutes. The Dartsman, Gary Harris. Now, has anyone had more of a disappointing postseason than Gary the Dartsman Harris? He was shit-ass again. 4 fouls in 13 minutes, 3 points, 1 of 4 shooting, 2 rebounds. He is just... Look, if he was even more, like, just solid in this series, the Nuggets have a much better chance. Thrill Sap, oh, we've brought him in for his veteran knowledge. And he was great. Kept, you know, getting to the line when he couldn't hit shots. 10 of 11 from the free throw line, 13 points. But the problem is it came on 1 of 8 shooting. It's like, fuck, Paul, can you just hit one? row. 1 of 5 from downtown as well. 18 minutes of Plumlee. That's way too many, isn't it? That's because Joker was in trouble. 7 points, 5 rebounds. Just not enough to overcome the Lakers, though. They had 55% shooting. They were unreal. LeBron, what a game, though. 38, 16, and 10. This will probably get brought up a couple of times later. AD had 27 and 5. Get a rebound, Anthony. Fuck. Dwight, starting again, 9 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks in 35 minutes. And then the rest of the other Lakerettes. Look, Danny Not the Boxer Green was the only one who really stood up. 11 points. But, I mean, when you've got LeBron just dropping 38, 16, and 10, you're fucking fine. Caruso put on a Caruso. He had 11 points, 5 of 7 shooting. It was pretty bloody good, actually. 3 turnovers, bit of block, a steal, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. Keith was shit-ass. Notorious KCP was horrible. 5 fouls for the Notorious KCP in fuck-all time. Kuz at 8 points on 3 of 7 shooting. Threatened to, like, I don't know, break loose at least once there. And it never really sort of came to fruition. But the KCP thing, 26 minutes, it was pretty incredible. 5 fouls, 2 points, 2 steals, 1 turnover. 0 of 1 from 3. Jesus. Anyway, didn't matter. Rondo, his poise has been massive in this series too. It's going to be fascinating to see how he goes against the Heat. 8 points, 4 assists in this one. Lakers win it 4-1. And then today, the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics 125-113. Both teams started horribly from 3, and they both got hot, which is why it was close and fun. It was just back and forth all game. It was great. No one could break it open. There was a great arm wrestle. I love this. I think I tweeted out at one point, this is fucking awesome, because it was fucking awesome. Heat were up 7 in the third. Celtics come storming back. 2-point game going into the fourth quarter. Everybody, look, Tatum woke up in the second quarter after starting horribly. Everybody was sort of, you know, doing a little bit of everything. It was great. Brown came up in the fourth quarter. Basically got fouled on a layup. Came down ugly on his left foot, screaming. And it sort of spurred the Celtics a weird little bit. It was bizarre, wasn't it? They're up 6 with 9 minutes left. Hero scores 5 quick points out of nowhere. Heat get back up. Tatum hits a 3. They're up 198. And then it's 102-104. And then the Celtics go 3.5 minutes without scoring at the end of the fourth. The Heat just storm fucking home. Kick the fucking doors down. I think it's like a 25-11 run or something. Absolutely fucking bonkers. And this was all to do with Bam. Bam was just fucking huge. He was running everything from the post, from the elbow. He just kept diving every time he'd run a high pick and roll. Hero was doing great shit. They just met, like, I mentioned this on maybe Thursday or Friday show, how they manufacture points out of ball movement and just cutting time and time again is fucking amazing. Like, you just turn around and Butts is, like, laying it in. You're like, how the fuck did that happen? Iguodala couldn't miss. He literally couldn't miss. He hit 4 threes, all 4 of them. 5 of 5 from the floor. Bam was just diving through the lane. It was great. It was just an incredible fourth quarter from Miami, and that's how you win a Eastern Conference Finals against a team as good as the Celtics. And good job, Miami. It was just a show of force that was exactly what they needed to do, and they did it, and it was fucking jaw-dropping. So great job by the Heat. The Celtics, all their starters, look, they all hit a couple of threes, but it was 13 made threes on 40 attempts between them. As a team, it was 15 of 46 overall. Only Gordo hit any threes off the bench, and I think he was 2 of 5. Tatum, slow start again, killed him, as mentioned, 0 of 7 shooting. Ends up 9 of 26. Ugh, 3 of 10 from 3, 24 and 11. Look, he was playmaking, right? So 11 assists. Even though he wasn't scoring, he was like finding other dudes. That was kind of cool. But again, when it really came to nut crunch time, he wasn't. It was tough. I mean, it wasn't helped by Kemba. He couldn't really get it going. Ends up in 20 points, 5 assists, goes 3 of 10 from 3, missed a bunch of good looks. He was in foul trouble as well. That was tough scenes. Jaylen had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Copped it late. Couldn't really get anything like just down. It was like, oh man, 10 of 17 shooting for Jaylen, 3 of 7 from downtown. But ooh, a couple of late ones where you're like, fuck, that's a tough one. Smart at 20 points on 8 of 22 shooting. Go big. Fucking hell. 4 of 13 from 3. Marcus. Not enough from Gordo either. 12 points on 12 shots. Gonna cop it from the wife. Wanamaker, he was ineffective. Grant Willie, 10 minutes, 3 rebounds, a block. He had one big moment, though. You're like, here we go. Here come the Celtics. And it wasn't quite there. Danny Tice fouled out. Couldn't contain Bam at all. Time Lord got out there for 4 minutes. And Cantor got out there for 8 minutes. Had, I don't know, 3 points, 4 rebounds. Not quite enough, though. The Heaters, look, they shot 56.3%. Which is pretty good. The thing is, they also took 19 less shots than the Celtics. which is absolutely bonkers. So, I don't know. We got a bunch of offensive rebounds for the Celtics. A couple more turnovers for the Heat. But a lot more free throws for the Heaters as well. So, I don't know. It's bonkers. It's weird. But they just did it. 13 of 27 from three. 22 of 26 from the stripe. The Heat. Just methodical. Mechanical. Kicked some ass. Took some names. But bam! What a game. Career high 32 points. 14 rebounds. 5 assists. After he felt like he let his team down in game 5. Incredible. Butts had 22. Had 8 assists as well. Hero was awesome for 19 points. And 8 of 13 shooting. Goran the Flog, Dragic, 13 points and 7 assists. Dunkey Robbo went 5 of 7 from downtown, 15 points from him. Iggy, as mentioned, didn't miss. 5 of 5 from the floor, 4 of 4 from 3. He was unbelievable in his 28 minutes, 15 points, obviously. I also had 2 steals, which were really big. And Crowder, look, he was a bit shit, 4 of 9, 1 of 5 from downtown, but 9 and 6, and didn't really hurt them. He's regressed back to the Crowder meme, which is hilarious, but still didn't matter. They've still got their dudes. They still kick some ass. Miami win at 4-2. They're going to the finals. Un-bloody real. All right, let's do an NBA Stereo Proof performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
LeBron James. Unbelievable. Un-bloody believe. What a closeout game. 16 points in the fourth quarter. Ends up with his 27th playoff career triple-double. 38, 16, and 10. The takeover. What a game. He did everything. It was remarkable. It was awesome. It's year 17. He was drafted in 2003. He's doing this, leading a team to the finals in 2020. That is fucking crazy. And so that's 1A, and 1B goes to Bam, obviously. What a game. 32, 14, and 5 for Bam. In the fourth quarter of this game, Bam grabbed 64.3% of the team's rebounds and either scored or assisted on over 50% of their points. He joins Shaq, LeBron, and D-Wade as the only Heat player to ever have 30-plus points, 10-plus rebounds, and 5-plus assists in a postseason game. But just think about Bam's journey. He negates Tatum's dunk to save the game and then closes it out in Game 6. Like, what a story. Game 1 to Game 6, Bam. What a legend. Ha, so bloody good. Old Mate No Mates, though.
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got No Mates today? Rob Pelinka. Pretty great one. After winning Game 5, LeBron was talking about AD. He said, this is the reason why I wanted to be a teammate of his and why I brought him here. And Pelinka would have been like, oh, why I brought him here. Okay, cool. Rich Paul's like, dude, bro. Why I brought him here. LeBron the GM, bang, right there. Kemba as well. I kind of mentioned this in passing. Paul Blake was begging for the ball at times today. Watching Smart and Brown and Tatum, just look away and create for himself instead of anybody else and just jack up another horrible shot and clank it. Tough scenes for Kemba, but I mean, he's getting paid, so who gives a fuck for him, I guess, but a bit of an old mate, no mates moment. And it's also not helping that he had a rough kind of little run there in the last two rounds of the playoffs. And you're like, well, I guess he's never been there before. It's his first moment on the big stage, really, since college. And here we are. Kind of just left you a little bit lacking. So I can imagine why his teammates were like, oh, yeah, we could give it to Kemba. Then we might not see it again. But then same thing happens with Marcus Smart. So whatever. Spot of the night.
Spot of the night.
I mentioned ThrillSap going 1 of 8. It was a spot for, look, he was great all series defensively, and they needed him out there for checking AD, LeBron, and co. So I can't really shit on him. And the same thing goes for Marcus Smart. He shot under 40% for the entire playoff run, 33 from 3. For this series, he was under 40% as well and shot 15 of 50 from downtown. He does everything else, doesn't he? Smart. But when he's not on offensively and he takes 14 shots a fucking game, that is just tough scenes. Like, you don't think maybe, just maybe, just maybe. That's, I don't know, maybe having Marcus Smart shooting 22 times today and Kemba Walker only shooting 15, it might be a bit of an imbalance. Just saying. But yeah, pretty spud-worthy today. 8 of 22, 4 of 13 from downtown. Never really threatened to get... Well, there was like two threes he hit, and you're like, watch out. And then it was just never again. So yeah, tough scenes there. Panting of the night. Plumlee getting absolutely fucking killed by Danny Knott, the boxer Green at the rim. It was a pretty tough one. That's a panting. That's where the small kid, just like out of nowhere, you're standing at your locker or something, the small kid out of your form just like dacks you, and he's like, ah, and everyone's like, oh, he got him. But Michael Porter Jr. exposed on D by Kuzma. Kuzma just destroying MPJ. Michael Porter Jr. on the with the Euro, basically. And Michael Porter Jr. sort of turning his body, because he could have taken a charge, but he's like, ah! So that's a bit of a panting. And then he got absolutely fucking killed. He got straight killed, I'll tell you what. Damn. Poor MPJ.
So he got straight killed
by Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis gave him the BAM treatment, turned him away. MPJ's like, I'm going to dunk this. And AD goes, not on my fucking watch, pal. So there's a couple of pantings for you. Not great. Michael Porter Jr., I mean, he's a diamond in the rough, but at the same time, the rough might be just, you know, full of germs that are about to kill him. So who knows? Anyway, what about better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Look, I'll tell you what, better than Lonzo. There was a bloke who got picked 12 spots after him that it was substantially better than him today. Tyler Hero as well in the playoffs so far. 16.5 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, 3.9 assists a game, shooting almost 60% with a true shooting percentage. He's the only second player 21 or younger to reach the NBA Finals while averaging 16-plus points, 5-plus rebounds, 3-plus assists on 59-plus true shooting percentage. The other one was Magic Johnson. So that's not bad. Tyler Hero crushing it. Michael Porter Jr., the only shot he's ever not liked is the one that protected him from measles, mumps, and rubella. That maybe explains his fucking weird Neanderthal hairline too. Holy shit. Did you couple look at it? You're like, what is his hairline doing? What the fuck, Michael Porter Jr.? Get a vaccination. Fuck. But I mentioned it. Pick 12 spots later than Lonzo. Bam. Bam Adebayo. 32 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 11 to 15 shooting. 10 of 11 from the free throw line. He is very clearly, with all those points, rebounds and assists, more than Lonzo has ever accumulated in an NBA playoff ever, because he's never made it, better than Lonzo Ball. Finally, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
And Paul Pierce copped it on the weekend. I love that he hates LeBron. I love that he hates the Heat, but he just spent the weekend getting shit on. It's almost too fitting that Paul Pierce is retired and he's still taking L's from the Heat and from LeBron, I guess. But look, the LeBron-Paul Pierce thing, Paul Pierce going, look, since my generation's left the game, everyone's afraid of LeBron. We weren't afraid. All right, cool. He was still better than you, Paul. I hate to tell you. And I don't know, we can probably just appreciate for how fucking good he is. How about that? Instead of going, you need to not be afraid. I don't think Jimmy Butler has a fucking skerrick of fear in him about LeBron. Fuck off, Paul. And also, yeah, shitting on the Heat, thinking that the Celtics were still going to do it, it didn't work out. Anyway, Paul Pierce, I love him, but I hate him. So there you go. Let's go do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
And
you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah-nahs. And as always, the NBA Australia yeah-nahs are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. Remember, if you're in Melbourne, lockdown might have eased just a little bit, but you still don't have time to go to the fucking bottle, though. So go to thedailyliquor.com, stock up on all their amazing booze specials, and as soon as you spend $20 and enter the code STRAYA, you get a free six-pack. a free six-pack of Dos X. It is a delicious beer. I have absolutely necked a shit ton of them on the weekend, I'll tell you what. But they are great. Try the Dos Blocos, the Sample Brew. I love the three-quarter IPA. The Gold Lager is great. The best part is, as well, they've got a bunch of wines and cocktails now as well. So if you're not into the beeros, you're all sorted. If the missus is like, oi, get me something, boom. And she's not into beer, you're laughing. And look, you can use the code as many times as you want throughout the rest of the playoffs because this lockdown is fucked and they're legends. So use the code STRAYA when you spend $20 and you get a free six pack. So it's for the Metro Melbourne area, same day delivery if you're ordered before 1 o'clock. Go get around the dailyliquor.com, smash the code STRAYA, buy a sixer, buy a bottle of wine, buy some locktails, get a sixer on your old mate Jimmy. How good is that? All right. Let's do some yeah nahs, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, will Spo be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah nah, fuck yes, of course he will be. This got brought up. I've got a lot of pet peeves when it comes to NBA announcing, especially when it comes to shit like, I don't know, Mark Jackson go, hey, Eric Spoelstra, he might one day be in the Hall of Fame. You might want to argue it. Who's arguing, Mark? Nobody. And we've been to the fucking finals 5 times. He's already a 2-time champ, and he's not even 50. He's got Tyler fucking Hero and Bam Adebayo for the next decade. I've got a feeling Spo's going to make the Hall of Fame, you idiot. The other good pet peeves are whenever they say playing aggressive or being unselfish and passing it out of a triple team. Yeah, love that stuff. This one's a one from Matt Cost. Jimmy, is your direct hatred for the Lakers resulting in a fourth ring for LeBron? Yeah, nah. Fuck, it might be, mightn't it? Look, always hated the Lakers. It's like a playful hate. I think it's fun. I've been to plenty of Lakers games in LA. Actually, obviously in Brooklyn too, in New York. Lakers fans are hilarious. They're so over the top. They really need you to know that they're a Lakers fan, and it's fucked. Because they've been so star-crossed for so fucking long. Just one after the other, they get the best player available every fucking time. But look, am I directly contributing to it? Probably, just because I'm very vociferous about my Laker hate, and fuck it, whatever, it's funny. But this is going to be a great series, and I might hate the Lakers, but I love LeBron. I think he's fucking fantastic, and I can't hate him. I still find it's weird that he's on the Lakers. It's still bizarre. But look, good on him. Rack up that fourth one if you can. If you can, LeBron. Can't wait to see how this goes. Mohan Nathan. Nathan Mohan at Monathan on Twitter. J.R. Smith can be on any time with LeBron, any team with LeBron again, as long as he doesn't play. Yeah, nah, NBA Australia. Hashtag Lakers Nuggets. Yeah, nah. I mean, it actually kind of works, doesn't it? There's no real, like, breaking case of emergency for JR where you're like, oh, well, we need some points. We better play JR. It's not going to happen unless you're down, like, 25. And even then, Deion probably gets the tap before him, right? So this is great. JR just gets to hang out, and he might become an NBA champion yet again. That's fucking great. Oh. Brad McKeegan asked, yeah, nah, Jimmy Caruso, is he LeBron's best ever teammate? Yeah, nah. No, it's Deli. Deli. Then it goes D-Wade, Kyrie, Chris Bosh, maybe AD. McKeegan actually added, rumor has it he asked Dally how he likes his sandwiches because he's starting to cut his lunch. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Chris Mowers asked as well. Chris Owers, I believe. Yeah, nah, Jimmy. Are the Nuggets the future of the West for the next 5 years? Or will the Mavs / Suns have something to say about that? Yeah, nah. Look, I think, depending on what happens with the Clippers after next year, they and the Mavs are probably best positioned because there's always just something a little bit funky about the Yaz with the Donovan Mitchell-Rudy Gobert pairing. But, I mean, the Mavs clearly are on the up, but the Mavs are like, you know, a year or two behind where the Nuggets were, you know, a year or two ago. So the Nuggets probably are better positioned to at least make a finals than pretty much any of the other teams outside of the Lakers and the Clippers, aren't they? Like Houston, who knows what the fuck's going to happen there? Utah, I just can't quite wrap my head around it. The Mavs are going to be very ascendant. The Suns, look, they've got a long way to go. Same with the Grizz and Co. But yeah, look, it's fucking fascinating because the future of the West next 5 years, we've still got LeBron. we've still got Golden State and you've still got the Clippers. And then I think you've got the Nuggets sort of sitting there too going, what's up? But they're going to be a big fucking problem, I think, for a long time too. Because don't forget, Joker and Jamal, young as shit too. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
I've already mentioned it. Jason Tatum. Too much of a pussy to dominate, I reckon, at the moment. I expected a little bit more after his World Cup run. We saw it, against the Australia games, last year. We got a bit of it in Game 5. The 31 points, the takeover. Loved it. But he shoots 8 of 22 and then 9 of 26 in a pair of closeout games. It's not quite good enough, right? Like, I get it. He's only 19. But for a 22-year-old, you want a little bit more from him considering the weapons that Boston team has got. And it turns out he's getting advice in the bubble from Kyrie, which the last person I feel like you should be getting advice from is Kyrie. You're like, hey man, you just need to think about the position you're in at all times and really open up your third eye. Shut up, Kyrie. Fuck. So according to Rachel Nichols, he's been trying to take on more of a leadership role, something he's been getting advice from Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's been calling Jason occasionally during his time in the bubble to talk, offer advice. I'm good. I probably wouldn't answer that call. Just not quite there. But anyway, Tatum, look, I want to see him come back next year, be way more assertive, way more of an ass kicker. Just have an anger about his game. Watch some more Kobe tape. See how you go. Yeah. Anyway, all right, what about Outback Takeoffs? It's Monday. At Outback. And you know what that means? Oh yeah. Alice Springs Chicken. Because Davo hit an emu on the way to work with his fucking Holden Rodeo ute. And these buggers are tasty as. So it's up on the specials board. Alice Springs Chicken. Only at Outback. And today's Flame Grill take is, unless they make the finals next year, the Celtics should be broken up. And the Gordon Hayward signing will be an absolute failure for everyone except the hairdressers and Republican fundraisers of the greater Boston area. Only at Outback. If they don't make the finals next year, Gordy's probably out the door anyway, right? They just won't be able to afford everybody. They're still so fucking young. Like Brown, Tatum, even Kemba, like they're just going to be making so much money, they can't really break them up unless they're just keep running into the same wall over and over and over again. I just can't see what the moves they can make that really sort of puts them over the top. Embiid? It's not going to happen, is it? So, there you go. But wow, Gordon Hayward, if they don't make the finals in this run, what a waste of time and money that's been. Unfortunately, yeah, horrible injuries. Tough scenes, but wow, great mustache. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Andrew Gray's Grand Mumber Award and the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Baller check in right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
It's the first and you won the Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba. Clap it up. There you go. Because the Andrew Gay's Grand Mumber Award can really only go to one man, can it? LeBron James. What a wild stat, isn't it? Like, he's been to more finals than every other fucking NBA franchise besides the Lakers, Celtics, and Warriors. come on. He's the fourth player ever to reach 10 NBA finals. It's absolutely bonkers. The only time he missed the finals this decade was last year when he was hurt. That's 9 times out of 10. Every time he's made the playoffs this decade, he's made the finals. That's fucking crazy. I mean, sure, look, most franchises can't leave to go play with better teammates every 4 years, but still, it's pretty cool. The weirdest and craziest stat is, of the NBA finals ever, LeBron has been in 13.5% of them. It's 10 out of 74. So, just to put this all in perspective, he first goes to the finals in 2007. Wow. Going again in 2020. Fucking hell, man. Just 10 NBA finals. He does that by dropping a 38-16-10, which, you know, is just going to go. You know where it's going to go. Oh, it hurts my heart, but it has to go. Straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
You better believe it. All right, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in for today. We're going to go check on Joe Ingles. He's been all over the tweets because it's pretty great. He's out there talking about the block. So Jingles tweeted out, best thing about Sundays in America is being able to watch the replay of the block room reveals. Prayer hands emoji. And some fucking American idiot's like, oh, Sunday night football, Joe. And Jingles, nah, the block's on. Fist bump emoji, prayer hands emoji. I am fucking dead. Ah, it's so good. And then Scotty Boy has responded, are you guys not going back to Australia this year? Nope, says Jingles. Aw. And his favourite team slash house this year, as asked by Bianca Chatfield, who was on the block, former netballer, Jingles replied, my guy George, got to be one of the funniest ever. You? That's pretty great. I love it. On your Jingles, always bringing a bit of levity to the situation. I love it just tweaking the noses of Americans going, yeah, you know what's great about Sundays? And everyone's like, football! It's like, nah, the block, bro. That's fucking great. Jingles, you legend. All right, in terms of the game previews and picks, obviously, we don't have any game previews for tomorrow. But we will do a big finals preview, I believe, on Wednesday ahead of Thursday's game. But we went 2-3 in our picks for the weekend. Remember, all of our picks are brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. So that's PlayUp Australia. They're the best. Their NBA specials are always fucking tasty. 2-3 we went on the weekend, so that's not bloody bad. So we're 42 of 77 for the season, or for the playoffs, and 592 of 1,053 for the season. And look, I'll leave you with this little tidbit before we do the big preview on Wednesday's show. LeBron and Jimmy Butler have played 34 times, including the playoffs, and it's split down the middle, 17 and 17. Wildly enough as well, Eric Spoelstra and Frank Vogel have played 50 times. Spoelstra's up 26 to 24. Not a bad bloody pairing, eh? How good is that? Now, if we have a quick look at the odds for the actual game on Wednesday, no doubt they'll change before Wednesday. Well, for Wednesday's show ahead of Thursday's game. But the Lakers are 5.5-point favorites. And, you know, for the actual finals MVP, LeBron's $1.57-1. I don't mind that. If it's a five-game series, $3.10. Ooh, tricky. But the series handicap is the Heat plus 1.5. Ooh, tricky. I don't mind that. So what do you reckon? Do the Lakers win it 4-2? Because if you like that, you got the $1.59. But the outright betting, the Lakers are favorites. $1.25 to win it versus the Heat 4-1 underdogs. Pretty interesting. Those will change a little bit. We'll go through and come up with some good bets for you on Wednesday as well as a bit of a preview, because that's what we do. We're going to ask a whole bunch of questions about this series, come up with some fun, interesting bets, and then make our pick. So, but there you go. There's a little bit of a landing point for you. $1.25 favorites of the Lakers at the moment to win this series. Heat 4-1 underdogs, and the Lakers for game one, 5.5-point favorites. Interesting. Yeah. So there you go. Go check out PlayUp Australia, playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their specials, and you'll be laughing. All right, we are feasibly back tomorrow. Might be just doing NFL Australia, though, tomorrow. So we might just be back on Wednesdays for the big preview show ahead of Thursday's game. So what do you reckon about that? Sound good? Hope it is. Because you're shit out of luck otherwise. So there you go. We'll be back on Wednesday with NBA Australia, but there will be an NFL Australia up tomorrow talking about all NFL stuff. You really, really miss me. But either way, check out NFL Australia. Who cares? It's great. Subscribe to that. Make sure you're subscribed and following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG, all over that. We're all over the socials. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Go buy a hoodie. Go buy a t-shirt. Get a stubby holder for your tins. Yes, do it. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your Android phone. Whatever you can do, rate, review, share. It helps out heaps. Please do it. TheDailyLiquor.com. Go spend $20 there if you're in Melbourne. use the code STRAYA and they'll give you a free six pack. It's basically buy a sixer, get a sixer while not watching the Sixers. I love it. Use the code STRAYA at thedailyliquor.com. Big thanks from Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is the best. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, that's it. We're going to close out today's show with a new Delhi review of Cobra Kai. And we'll catch you on Wednesday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, the fucking finals are set. Woo! Later, Hosen. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your mate Deli over here, just popping by from the latest pop culture review, eh? And look, I hope yous are all doing alright back home in Australia and shit, and I hope you're not too locked down or whatever, I hope you don't have that Rona. I mean, we're just here chilling out in Cleveland watching American football and shit, which if you ask me, should be fucking called throwball, because I mean, there's not much fucking kicking, bro. And I'm just waiting for my beloved Maggies to kick some ass in the AFL finals, eh? Fucking yeah, it's great, you know, just otherwise spending all my time hanging out the squid, going for bike rides, doing my podcast, jumping in the pool. But yeah, I'll tell you what, how good are those NBA playoffs, mate? I'm fucking stoked for my old mates LeBron and JR going to the finals and shit. I mean, I jumped on the old Dog and Bone, messaged them to say congrats and shit, and then if they nude me, I'm fucking here. Get Cleveland to release me, I'll just fucking jump on the next flight down there. What do you reckon? And either way, if they win, I'll shout the slab of Corona tins. Hey, look, if I can't get on the court to smash some deli time, then I'll rock up with the cans to the after party for some more deli time. It's what we do. It's what we've always done. And I'm fucking all about it. Anyway, so I've been a bit bored this week after Donna and I clocked Tony Hawk last week and shit. The miss has been on me to clean up the house a bit before winter and shit. I'm like, come on, I'm going to do my podcast. And I've got to get another contract for next year as well and shit. And I'm going to go get Don A out of the fucking guest house, make him rake up the leaves and shit, tell him to get his own fucking apartment. It's like, Don A, you got traded to Cleveland almost a fucking year ago, mate. You should have a house by now. But that bloke's punched so many cones, he loses track of what he's doing as he has, eh? So, anyway, best part is pop culture review for this week. After loads of fucking folks telling me I should watch it, I finally sat down and punched through every single fucking minute of Cobra Kai. And, mate, I've got to tell ya, it might be the greatest fucking telly show I've ever fucking watched. I mean, shit. It's about the blokes from one of my all-time favourite movies, The Karate Kid, fucking Johnny and that little prick Daniel and shit, and how they're doing and shit these days. And look, no spoilers or nothing if you haven't seen it, but I fucking love how it's kind of updated The Karate Kid. Like, it split the idea of who the hero is and, like, you know, shown us, like, from different perspectives and stuff as well. That whiny little fuck Daniel LaRusso wasn't the fucking goody two-shoes he thought he was, eh? And it's fucking sick, bro. Like, you've got all these old characters and shit that you fucking love, and now you can see what they're up to now. And it just shows you how life isn't always roses after high school and shit. It's fucking fascinating. I mean, life's been pretty good for me since I left Maribara High School and shit, but still. Anyway, look, I don't need to sell this on you too much. It's got karate. It's got Daniel LaRusso. It's got fucking Johnny Lawrence. It's fucking Cobra Kai, and I fucking love it. This is the greatest thing I've ever watched. So yeah, it gets about a million out of 10 deli ones. So don't fuck around. Go watch Cobra Kai. Tell me how much you fucking love it. And there you go. That's it for me this week. I'll catch us next week after you've watched Cobra Kai for another pop culture review. Later, fuckers. Deli out.